Welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight. I am here with Ray Allard. He is a connoisseur, a lover of blues music, and he joins me tonight. We're going to have a conversation about blues, the history of blues in our United States and the world. Ray, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Henry. Excuse me.
No worries. Now, why don't you take a moment, Ray, and just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll continue with our conversation.
Well, okay. I'm a writer. I'm an artist, a teacher, a cartoonist, and several other things. During the hot 70s, people were recycling the blues, and that's when I kind of got caught up in a deep interest in it. One of the first people I liked was Mississippi John Hurt because of the Piedmont blues style, but we'll talk about that. Every summer, there's a blues fest in Washington, D.C. that's free in the Carter Barron Amphitheater, which is in the middle of a beautiful park. And Jerry and I have been to that many times. It usually rains during the day, so everybody brings umbrellas and slickers, but they sit and watch some pretty good acts on the stage. We've seen a lot of nice performances there.
And Jerry, you mentioned Jerry. Who is Jerry?
Jerry's my wife.
All right.
We're both from Minnesota originally and back in Minnesota happily.
Mm-hmm. So before we continue, Ray had mentioned that he's an artist and has been doing art for a number of years, but has this exciting interest in the blues. What made you interested in the blues?
Well, it started with a fondness for rock and roll. Like Muddy Waters says, blues had a baby and it's rock and roll. We can't understress the importance of African-American music on American popular music. We would not really have American music without the influence of music from the black tradition. And during the 60s, there was a folk revival, and part of the folk revival was a type of music called jug band music, which I got very interested in. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate and songs like that. And the more I traced it back, the more I got back to the blues, and it felt very good. So I've always kind of had an interest in the blues since I was in my teens.
Well, let's talk for a moment about rural blues.
Rural blues.
Talk a little bit about that and how that got started and what that influence is.
Well, it's important to understand that jazz and blues both kind of came out of the same era, turn of the century. There's some evidences of blues before that, but the real appearance of blues happened in the teens and early 20s. It was accompanied by the development of radio and the development of recorded music, which helped spread the music to a wider audience. There's people like Stephen Foster right after the Civil War that understood that the black musical idioms were something to pay attention to. Half of his songs are done in black idiom, which some people find insulting, but it's Americana, and I think it's important to remember all of that. But rural blues would be largely men who traveled around somewhat nomadic. It was easy to throw a guitar over your back and hop on a freight train and go somewhere. And they would stand on street corners performing their music, or they'd play at rent parties or fish fries or something like that. They'd probably get just the food they could eat, and that would be it. But it was a very strong development going on in primarily the black community. It was not unknown in the white community. A lot of black musicians played for white people's parties and things like that. And there were white musicians that sat in with black performers frequently. I could mention a few, but we don't have time. So the rural blues was basically people who are self-taught on guitar. Somebody like, I think Muddy Waters said that his first instrument was where he took the wire off of a straw broom and put a rock on it and nailed the other end of the wire to the house becoming the resonating chamber, and he could play the wire. There's a lot to say there. But when we're talking about the blues, what are we talking about? What is the blues? Blues ain't nothing but a good woman on your mind, said Mississippi John Hurt. The Webster definition gives kind of a technical thing. Somebody like Tom Wheeler, the editor of Guitar Player, called the blues a subtle, brutal, ecstatic, mournful music of the soil, of the street, of the heart. It is deceptively simple on structure, boundless in expressiveness. And that's a pretty good statement. My definition of the blues is a secular African-American music of the 20th century related to jazz. That's pretty blank. You have to listen to it.
So blues and jazz for black people are intertwined.
They're intertwined. They don't separate out until about the 30s when there's some musicians become jazz musicians and others continue to play the blues. It's hard to say which one came first because the New Orleans tradition was very definitely jazz, and yet B.B. King comes from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So
throughout the show today, we're going to be playing some of the different types of blues and different folks and musicians associated with the blues. Who are some of those rural blues giants that you want to mention?
Well, foremost, most often covered, is Robert Johnson, and the legend about him, he was dead at the age of 29. He recorded, I think in Chicago, he recorded in a hotel room, and he recorded about 29 songs. 3 years later or something like that, when they went back to find him again, he was already dead. And nobody really knows how, but the legend is that he was poisoned by a jealous husband, bartender, because Robert Johnson liked to play around with other guys' wives. And there's a pretty horrible story about how he was fed some chemical in the booze that he was drinking, and it dried him out. I can't remember the name of the chemical, but it took him 2 days to die. So it's a pretty horrible story. But the music he left behind, virtually every song he recorded has been covered by somebody, and there's a lot of songs that people know very well, such as Come On in My Kitchen, Ramblin' on My Mind, Crossroads Blues, Dust My Broom. And a sample we have for you to hear is Sweet Home Chicago.
And so we're going to take a moment and we're going to listen to Sweet Home Chicago by Robert Johnson.
Chicago. I'm 6 and 2 is 8, 8 and 2 is 10. Friend, boy, boy, she tricked it one time. She sure gonna do it again, and I'm crying, hey. Baby, don't you want to go to the land of California, to my sweet home, Chicago? I'm going to California, from Bethany, miles away. Somebody will tell me that you need my help someday, crying. Hey, hey, baby, don't you want to go back to the land of California, to my sweet home, Chicago?
Okay, I would like to read you this quote. It's a little bit long. Blues is truth. Blues is not fantasy. Blues is not imagination. Blues will never die. It's going to live in the form that youngsters see fit to keep it alive in. There'll be no more Brownie McGee. There'll be other guys greater than me, though, because the blues, the form, will live. But the content that goes into the form is going to be different. My son will never be able to live my life 40 years backwards. It's very hard for a kid to sing about cotton when he's never seen it grow. No book will give you that, like looking at cotton coming up out of the ground, blooming, and then picking it. The blues is going to become automated after a while. They're doing it now, rock and roll and disco. They're just names, commercial titles for the blues. None of that stuff is harmful. I've lived through all the changes, and that's from Brownie McGee. I've seen Brownie McGee, by the way.
You've seen Brownie McGee. Where was that?
At the Gopher Hole at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. Saw a lot of people come through there. Jim Kweskin came through there.
Do you remember what year that was when you saw that?
Oh, that would be in the 70s.
In the 70s.
Late 60s and 70s, yeah. Also, Robert Johnson was a proponent of the Delta style, and everybody thinks the Delta, well, not everybody, but people think the Delta is New Orleans and the end of the Mississippi River, but it's not. The Delta refers to southern Illinois and some of the states around it. That's where the Delta style of music developed. And the Delta style might be typified by bottleneck slide playing. Another form of blues was developing elsewhere on the East Coast in the Piedmont Mountains, typified by complicated finger picking. One of the best proponents of that was Mississippi John Hurt, one of the first people whose blues I listened to and enjoyed. And he left behind a very strong legacy. As a matter of fact, when the blues revival happened in the 60s, he was rediscovered and re-recorded, and so he's very well known. If you listen to a song like Make Me a Pallet on the Floor, you'll hear his style very clearly.
And we're going to take a moment and we're going to hear from Mississippi John Hurt, Make Me a Pallet.
Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Going to the country, white cold, steed and snow. I'm going up the country, white cold, steed and snow. I'm telling how much further I may go. Just make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. sleep and my back and shoulders tired. When I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. The way I'm sleeping, my back and shoulders tired. Gonna turn over and try it on the side. Oh, make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Might shoot you, lie to cut you and stop you too. No telling what she might do. Just make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor. Make it, baby, close behind the door. Make it, baby, close behind the door. Make me a pallet close behind the door. Make it where your good man will never go. Oh, make me down. Make me down. Make me a pallet down on your floor. Make me a pallet on your floor.
That's the Piedmont style. I have a list here of names of people that fit into this rural blues category. And if you're interested in finding out more, pay attention to the names and Google them, research them, go out and buy some albums. We're talking about Leadbelly, Huddy Leadbetter. Other names like Sun House, Bucca White, Reverend Gary Davis, Sleepy John Estes, Josh White, Skip James, Blind Willie McTell, Blind Lemon Jefferson, and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee.
And there's so many more. We're going to be talking about women in the blues. That's going to be coming up in the next segment of the show. This is People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Henry Banks. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you for joining us. This is Henry Banks with Ray Allard. We're talking about the blues. We're going to start this segment talking, Ray, if you would talk about women in the blues and their role in the blues.
Well, women had a special role in the blues. They couldn't travel the rural South, the 20s, like men could. It wasn't safe, as you can imagine. So they wound up fronting for bands and orchestras in clubs in the cities. They developed into what we call jazz singing and what we also call the classical blues singers. There were men doing it too, but mainly it was women. Minstrelry and vaudeville not only provided employment for a great many women blues singers, but helped develop the concept of the professional Negro entertainer. The blues expanded the professional horizons for black female entertainers. That's from Leroy Jones in a very good book about blues called Blues People. I recommend that book. Of these people, we have several examples, and I would like to direct your attention to what they call the Queen of Blues, Bessie Smith. We have a recording of hers for you to listen to called Backwater Blues.
Let's go ahead and do that now. Bessie Smith and Backwater Blues.
the skies turn dark at night. When it rained 5 days and the skies turn dark at night, then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night. Make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, throw them in, and they rolled alone. When it thundered and lightning and the wind began to blow. When it thunders and lightning and the wind began to blow. There's thousands of people ain't got no place to go. On some high old lonesome hill. And I went and stood up on some high old lonesome hill. Then looked down on the house where I used to live. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things and
writer Frank Walker said of Bessie Smith, "The most overwhelming musical experience of my life. I never heard anything like the torment she put in the music of her people. It was the blues, and she meant it." Also to be considered is Memphis Minnie, who traveled the South much like men did. She was a tough, hard woman, but she sang very sweetly. And from her we have a song called "I'm So Glad." Yes, I love him.
so much to bear. Cause he's so sweet and he's different from the rest. Get it now.
I'm So Glad by Memphis Minnie. Now, you mentioned that she was kind of hard, and what do you mean by that?
She would not put up with guff from any man. She was hard, and she'd go after a guy with a knife if she had to, and people kind of gave her distance. Mm-hmm. And she had two husbands. One of them helped her write some of her songs. So...
Mm-hmm.
So I'm So Glad was written by her husband. I think his name was Lawler.
Okay.
Not only were their styles of singing, these women singers, not only were their styles of singing a kind of beautiful balance between the urban and country style of blues, but because these classic singers were heard by more people, they were widely imitated. That's again from Leroy Jones. Other names of women blues singers would include people you know the names of: Ethel Waters, Sippy Wallace, Ma Rainey, Memphis Minnie, as I mentioned, Hattie McDaniel, Mamie Smith, Lottie Beeman, Noble Sissy, Ida Cox, Lil Hardin Armstrong, which is Louis Armstrong's wife, Lucille Bogan, and Alberta Hunter. I had the good fortune of meeting Alberta Hunter in New York before she died. She says, "Blues ain't sinful. You're telling a story. Blues are sung from your soul." Alberta Hunter. Other names, more contemporary, that you might consider: Nina Simone, Billie Holiday, Ruth Brown, Dinah Washington, Etta James, and Katie Webster. And today we have the women of Sapphire, Sue Foley, Debbie Davies.
Wow. So
it's quite a tradition.
Yeah, quite a tradition in blues music. Now, can you talk a little bit, though, Ray, about the power of the blues and the importance of the blues?
I can try. I want first to say that you should understand I'm not a total authority. I'm just a fan. And my opinions are subject to criticism, but they are researched, and I do have some of that information. The blues is powerful enough to have affected the world, and we'll talk about that later when we talk about the international scene. But blues is like jazz. It's found in every corner of the planet. Why? What is it about the blues that makes people like it so much? Well, it's a simple form. It's three chords normally, and it's easy to remember. It's easy to learn how to play to. They said that the usual form is first line, and then you repeat the second line, and then you sing a third line to kind of wrap up the verse. Well, you sing the second line so you can think up the third line while you're singing. Very improvisational. And it's not a music, well, like B.B. King says, having fun is what it's all about. Nobody goes to a club or a concert because they want to have a bad time. Blues is not sad music. It's happy music. It's dance music and party music. And it's music that comes out of people surviving. They sing about somebody dying. They sing about all these terrible things, but they're there singing about it, so they've survived. And this resonates with many different cultures around the world.
And I wanted you to mention that because a lot of people think that blues is just for black people.
Oh, no, no, no.
Talk about how the blues has really been cross-generational. Cross-cultural.
Exactly. For me, blues is a very good way of expressing musical feelings. I pretend to play a little bit of bass, and I play to blues songs. I've played with other musicians for 20 years, and music is a common denominator among people, and blues is an easy way for people to talk to each other with music and instruments.
Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, so it crosses all kinds of things.
It does.
Like I said, intergenerational. Young people are getting involved in the blues, and women, as you just mentioned, are involved in the blues, the mm-hmm. rural blues. It has the power.
It does.
To really make you feel good.
It does, and it eventually moves into the cities from the rural areas. There's migrations that happen in the 20s. I think there's one in the teens. There's a big migration in the 30s when you have the Dust Bowl and Depression. And they move into the cities and they take up new instruments. Guitars become electrified. You can play on the stage with a drum set and have a piano there. There's a whole story about pianos and boogie-woogie music we can't get into. It's all part of this urban development, result of several migrations. People moving off the farm in rural areas moved to Chicago, New York, Kansas City, and to the west in Los Angeles and Austin, Texas, where they find work playing music. Big Bill Brunzi is one of these people. He moves from the rural area into Chicago and starts playing with other musicians. Muddy Waters. He gets his name because he liked to play in the mud. His real name is McKinley Morganfield. And he moves to Chicago where he picks up electric guitar, starts playing with drummers. You may remember his piano player, Otis Spahn, who I think might even still be alive. I'm not sure. Elmore James, who played electric slide guitar. Famous riff. I don't have a copy. I'm sorry. Johnny Otis was kind of a curious character. He said, "Whites don't have a blank thing to do with jazz or blues. Even the foundation of country music is black." Well, he's correct, but Johnny Otis himself was Greek. He was not black. I think he married a black woman, but he was not black. His son is Shuggy Otis, who's a fairly good guitar player. But it just tells you the mixture is going on. This is what I like about any music, is that it mixes. People pick it up and they change it and they develop it. Well, the blues is a very good example of that. B.B. King, as I mentioned, developed out of that. And you must remember, The Thrill Is Gone and songs like that. We don't have time to play B.B. King, but I'd like you to hear Muddy Waters singing a song called Same Thing.
Okay, let's take that and let's do that right now. This is Muddy Waters and Same Thing.
Tomcat fight all night. Why do all of these men try to run a big lay woman down? Why do all of these men try to run a big lay woman down? The same old thing that makes a bulldog hug a hound. Oh, that same thing. Oh, that same thing. Tell me who's to blame
the whole world fighting about that same thing. What make you feel so good when your baby get up, eat and gown? What make you feel so good when your baby get up, eat and gown? Must be the same old thing that made a preacher lay his Bible down.
You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Ray Allard, and we're talking the blues. This is actually Blues Week in the Twin Ports, and the 27th annual Bayfront Blues Festival is going to be starting yet this week, starting on Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday in the Twin Ports. This is People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Ray Allard, and we're talking the blues. Ray, why don't we get right into gospel?
It comes out of the spiritual tradition, and I always have loved to hear choruses sing black spirituals. They're beautiful pieces of music. Antoine Dvorak thought so as well, to include it in his New World Symphony. Blues musicians didn't take on the church. It was too much of an important presence in the black community. But they would sing about lazy, lustful preachers. There's a lot of songs about that. And I think even the song C.C. Rider is about a circuit-riding preacher who has girlfriends along the way. Black churches were central to most communities. Preachers and ministers were community leaders. That's where black people learned how to develop leadership. Plenty of people would stay up all night and listen to the blues and go home, get ready, and go to church, said Muddy Waters. So there's such a strong connection between the two, sometimes it's just a matter of different lyrics to the same tune. There were black harmonizing quartets, hymns were being published, there were Pentecostal churches, and something I found out in my research, recorded sermons of black preachers, which could be like an entertainment in itself. We have some nice samples of gospel music for you here. First of all, I'd like to start it off with Tosh Regan, a daughter of one of the women in Sweet Honey in the Rock, a song called We'll Understand It Better By and By.
A bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. When the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, children, by and by, when the morning comes, the saints are gone to gather in hope. trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Gathering home, we will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Ain't that a pretty tune? I really
like
her version.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
There's also the Staple Singers, Papa Roebuck and Mavis, one of the daughters. Mavis had a solo career. She didn't exactly sing gospel, but you couldn't get it out of her music. It was in there.
I know. I grew up with, in my home, my family home, listening to the Staple Singers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That music was always played in our home.
I came to it later, but I appreciated it when I heard it. The bond between the black singing artist and the church is legendary. If there have been classical singers who grew up with no church affiliation, they are the exception to the rule. This is from Rosalind's story in a book called Of Thee I Sing. Some of the gospel performers that you might want to listen to, and I've heard some of them, Five Blind Boys.
I've heard them.
There's been two different groups of that, and mm-hmm. I think there's a current one that's also new.
Absolutely.
Sister Rosetta Tharp, who is fantastic to listen to. The Fisk Jubilee Singers, which traveled these songs around the country playing at universities and things, and James Cleveland, one of the preachers. Influenced by gospel is almost a list of every performer, black or white. Chuck Berry, T-Bone Walker, Lightning Hopkins, Otis Spahn, Junior Wells, Jimmy Witherspoon, B.B. King, Aretha Franklin, of course, Ray Charles, James Brown, and Sam Cooke. Now, I think I have recordings by most of those people in our collection.
Well, you know, B.B. King, in some of his writings, mentioned that he learned how to play the guitar from a Pentecostal preacher in the Church of God in Christ.
I believe you're right. I don't have any data on that with me, but I believe you're right. That's a significant thing to note. And I grew up singing spirituals, in school. Things like that. We all know those songs.
Mm-hmm.
They're very familiar, and they're in us. They are not away from us. From there, you asked me a question about the influence that blues has had on young people today.
Yeah, I want to get to that because I think it's important because we're finding more and more young people coming into their lives and experiencing the blues, and the impact that it has on their lives. We want to talk a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. It's important to realize that right now there are a lot of new blues musicians coming out. The overwhelming majority of them are white, but there are black musicians out there doing the blues. Robert Cray, Guy Davis, Keb Moe, these are all big names of people that are moving it forward. I can't remember all the names.
Yes, there's so many, right?
But at a certain point in time, the 50s, let's say, something happens to the music and it becomes very, very popular with white audiences, or shall we say mainstream audiences. Rock music, everything else, is like a branch on the same tree. It all comes from the blues, says John Lee Hooker. Rock and roll, oh, that's the same quote. Big Joe Turner started it out. He isn't the first one to do a rock and roll song, but he has one of the most famous called Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
And let's go right to that, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. And I want you, Jerry, when we come back, to just talk about that particular song, what that meant to you when you heard it.
Get out of that bed, wash your face and hands. Pots and pans. Well, you wear old dress.
I first heard that song on a program on television called Your Hit Parade. Maybe it was, where every week they'd have the top 10 songs performed by people like Gisele McKenzie. And that's when I first heard Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's got forms before it that are very similar, but it's just this easygoing, happy song. Well, it's kind of sarcastic, but there is that in blues anyway, and it's just fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And you toe taps, you know?
Oh, yes.
Now, some blues is mournful and dirge-like, but rock and roll was all about party.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Ray Allard. He is my guest today, and we're talking about the blues. This is Blues Weekend, the Twin Ports, and so just a little bit of history and context about the blues and the importance of the blues. That's what we're talking about today. Ray, you were just getting ready to say something.
I was getting ready to talk about Chuck Berry.
Go ahead.
You know the joke. They sent a satellite out into space. Carl Sagan put it together and put a record on there with human music. Included Mozart and Chuck Berry.
And Chuck Berry.
And just a couple of years ago, they got back a message from out there, and it took them a couple of months to translate the message, and it translated into four words. Send more Chuck Berry.
Send more Chuck Berry. That's great.
It's a good joke.
That's a very good joke.
Chuck Berry is probably one of the first people I started listening to in rock and roll. Chuck Berry and some other names I'll mention in a bit here. Chuck Berry is the greatest influence on earth. So is Bo Diddley, and so is Little Richard. There's not one white group on earth that hasn't got their music in them. And that's from John Lennon. So you can see the roots of this are starting to spread out into the rest of the world. That's because people like Lead Belly and Big Bill Brunsey went over to Europe after World War II and took the music over there. I'll talk about that in a little bit, too. One of my favorite rock and roll songs, one of the ones that typifies rock and roll. You think about Eddie Cochran doing Summertime Blues. You think about Chuck Willis doing C.C. Rider. These are all great rock and roll songs. But the top of the heap for me is this one by Huey Piano Smith called Sea Cruise.
Huey Piano Smith. Let's listen to that right now, and we'll come back and continue this conversation.
Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? If you like jumping, baby, won't you join me, please? Don't like begging, but now I'm on bending knee. Got the boogie-woogie like a knife in the back. Got to get a rock and get my hat off the rack. Be my guest, you got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Baby, I ain't lying. My heart is beating rhythm and it's right on time. Be my guest, you got nothing to lose. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? If you like jumping, baby, won't you join me, please? Begging, but now I'm on bending knee. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby, won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
This is People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Ray Allard. We're going to be talking some more about rock and roll, but then we're going to talk about local blues favorites that Ray would like to mention and share with you, our listeners. Welcome back, Ray, and again, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So before we went to break, you were talking about rock and roll and
Chuck Berry.
And would you like to say any more about that?
Oh, I could talk for days about it. We can't talk about rock and roll without talking about the king, Elvis Presley. Now, I didn't find affection for a lot of what he did, but his early music was hot. I remember drying dishes with my brother washing them, and we first heard Heartbreak Hotel on the radio. That's a stunning moment in time. We offer you one of his best rock songs, rock and roll songs, All Shook Up.
Elvis Presley and All Shook Up. And I think most of us have heard that, but it is a very powerful song.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano and it's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and a love so fine. She touched my hand and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
About Presley, what Presley did was to produce a new synthesis so potent that teenagers all over the world hailed it as the voice of their generation, as by writer John Rubiosky. Many white artists covered songs blacks had written years earlier and made it big by copying the performing styles, dances, and dress of black artists. And that's by Kevin Campbell in Ebony magazine. Well, that's very true. Presley, in fact, practically stole the act of an original, I guess he was called R&B star, Winoni Harris. He copied his performance style. Alan Freed knew what he was talking about in the late 50s when he said that this music was destined to make history. And this is from one of my favorite social critics, Michael Ventura, in White Boys Dancing. A music that inspires the flesh in the cities that deny the flesh, or say that music cut a street through the whole society so that something of what was best in the slums and the tin roof shacks made its way out uptown and into the suburbs, sucking up everyone, invigorating many, and giving people who never had it before a chance to find their own body's special grace. Michael Ventura and White Boys Dancing. He's talking about guys like me that still don't know how to dance. But that's true. Some of the rock and roll names I'd like to pass on to make sure you understand all this. Bo Diddley, which was already mentioned. Richie Valens, Ricardo Valenzuela. Johnny Cash, who played rock and roll songs. Los Lobos is doing it now. Dr. John. Jimmy Clanton, who recorded the popular version of Sea Cruise with Huey Piano Smith. Eddie Cochran, Carl Perkins, Ricky Nelson, Gene Vincent, Buddy Holly, and Fats Domino. The list goes on. There's so many that I cannot possibly mention them all.
Well, let me ask you, Ray, to take a moment, if you would, and kind of mention some of the best blues cities in America that you know of.
Well, obviously Chicago,
mm-hmm.
But let's not miss the fact that the blues is very strong in New Orleans with its own special brand. Listen to Fats Domino and to his mentor, Professor Longhair. There's a kind of a backbeat style, very hot. Dr. John promoted that as well. Then you go to Chicago. Well, that's where Muddy Waters and all that whole coterie of people developed. New York City had several famous people there. The blues also went west to Los Angeles, where there's more amenable ground for people to be more creative. I wish I had at hand the names of people in these different places, but you'll know them. You can hear them. I have plenty of names to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kansas City was a destination. I believe Kansas City might have been the slaughterhouse area for
it was.
Cattle.
It was.
And Chicago was everything else that was coming out of the rural areas to be transported to the rest of the world, actually.
And so those are major cities.
Major cities, right.
Right here in the Twin Ports with the Blues Festival here. It's still a growing festival. It's 27 years that they've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Over 500 different performers have come here over the years.
I'm impressed.
And so have you attended the Twin Ports, the Blues Bayfront Blues Fest is what it's called here. Have you been to that event?
Well, Jerry and I were here in 2010, and we couldn't afford the festival. You ask me if I like blues festivals. Yeah, I like free blues festivals.
Sure.
I can't afford $20, $30, $40 a ticket.
Right.
So we went to Grandma's to see Lamont Cranston. So they were part of the festival, and we saw them perform. I like Lamont Cranston. I always have.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really good talent in Minnesota. Always has been. I grew up. I was in college watching Dave Ray, John Kerner, and Tony Glover perform at the Triangle Bar on weekends. I was there every weekend to either hear Dave Ray or John Kerner. Unfortunately, Dave Ray isn't with us anymore. He died of cancer a couple of years ago, and I wish I had time to play almost all of his albums, because he's so good. One hell of a good guitarist. Sorry, can I say that?
Oh, it's all right.
one hell of a guitarist on the 12-string guitar is so famous that when John Hammond comes up here, he used to borrow Dave Ray's 12-string guitar. Dave has a brother, Tommy Ray, who plays barrel house piano, and there's a whole group of musicians around that, including Willie Murphy and John Kolstad and people like that. The blues is all over the world now. People that don't speak English love the blues. I'm so happy for myself and other blues singers out there that the blues is getting to be so popular. That's John Lee Hooker. Local names would be, like I mentioned, Willie Murphy here in Duluth, Charlie Parr. Lazy Bill Lucas used to perform in the Twin Cities. Mojo Buford would come over from, I think, Milwaukee. He'd come over here to play. We also have fundamental musicians coming out of Minnesota. Leo Kottke, I mentioned Lamont Cranston, and let's not forget the most important, significant person from this part of the world, Bob Dylan. So we have our chops here in terms of blues. It's not overwhelming. If you go to Chicago, there's blues people everywhere. In New York, they're singing on the streets still. But internationally, look what's happened to blues internationally. We have Eric Clapton, John Mayall, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones, Eric Burdon, Lonnie Donegan, The Who, Van Morrison, and the countries where blues is hot and developing even today, Canada, Australia, Brazil, South Africa, France, Japan, and Germany. Now, I have samples from some of those countries, but we don't have time. I would love to play many more things.
And, you know, I'm going to certainly say to you right here that we would love to have you come back.
Thank you.
And we could continue the conversation, you know, because this is, the blues is big.
It is.
So it's going to take more than one or two conversations to talk about it.
Well, I would like to say that it is part of American history. It's not something we can ignore. It's easy to put something aside when you don't want to pay attention to it, but it is part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you then, if you mentioned that it's a part of our culture and it is a part of our American society, would you think a blues curriculum should be offered or could be offered in a college or university setting to get young people especially interested in the blues?
I don't see why not. I think it's important culturally, like B.B. King says, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. And you listen to contemporary music right now, I think it needs another infusion of blues into it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something I don't have any control over. I'm going to be here listening like you are and find out what happens. I would like to mention some other names that you might want to look at. They are from the 60s and 70s, and some of them are still very active. Paul Butterfield, unfortunately, is dead. Ry Cooter, who was a musicologist. Bonnie Raitt, Canned Heat, J.J. Cale, who just died, J.J. Giles, AC/DC, which might surprise you. They are a blues band, but they're pretty intense, and George Thorogood.
So AC/DC is a blues band.
Well, listen to some of their things. They're blues songs.
Interesting. And you mentioned Bonnie Raitt. Now, mm-hmm. She is one of my favorite mm-hmm. singers of all time.
Yep.
She's absolutely incredible.
I saw her at the Guthrie when she first had her first album out, and she was fantastic. I have a great deal of respect for her. She's a terrific musician,
mm-hmm.
and I think she's made comments about the music, too, and she's, erudite. She's very well-spoken. We need more people like her. And you have asked me if I have some favorites. I have a list a mile long of favorites, but I have a couple I'd like to get on the air here on this program tonight. We can come back and do this again, like you say.
And we can certainly do that. So what are some of your favorites?
Well, I love Ry Cooder and anything he does, and I would love to play some Kerner Ray and Glover for you. But let's go with Herbie Mann doing an old spiritual. You might like this one.
Herbie Mann.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jazz flutist.
Okay, we'll get that on. We'll make sure we get that on. I appreciate that. Anything else that you have as a favorite?
Well, the last one I want to make sure people hear is one it just thrills me when I hear it. It's a song by John Mayall from the Blues Breakers in England, where Eric Clapton came out of. It's a song called Room to Move.
Okay, Room to Move by John Mayall. That is really great. I think I want to ask you this, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked about the black church and its influence on the blues. You talked about rural blues. You talked about a variety of different areas that blues comes from. And you mentioned the Mississippi, or you mentioned the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Mississippi Delta? Does that have anything
you bet.
Do with this?
This is a future show. That's where Zydeco is. And Zydeco comes out of Cajun music. Cajun is a mixture of Spanish, Indian, French, and I guess white. It's multilingual. And there's some really good songs and music that come out of that. And we also have, we could talk about Boogie Woogie, which was people who were traveling on this migration north. They'd put a piano on a boxcar, and the piano's Boogie Woogie would imitate the rail sounds. There's so many good things.
Wow, that's amazing.
Offer. Yes. Like I say, I could talk about this for days.
Yeah.
And not exhaust the subject.
And I want to say you're very excited about the blues. And so it's really changed your life and inspired you.
I don't know that it changed my life. My life has come along with it.
And your life has come along with it. Okay. Yeah.
The blues isn't the only thing I like, but it is definitely a thread in my cultural awareness.
Well, you have a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge about the blues.
I should explain that.
Please do.
I was living in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I was learning to be a teacher of English as a second language at União Cultural, which is a binational center. And they asked me if I could teach anything on American culture, cultural studies. And I said, I don't know much about anything except maybe music. And they said, oh, good, let's have a class on that. So I took 6 months and put together a class called Blues and American Popular Music, and had a lot of help from friends back in the States, sent me samples, and I made my collection get larger and still collect good blues today.
Well, you could teach that class then, couldn't you?
I could.
So, you know,
I have the bare bones of it and be more than willing to present it.
Oh, very interesting. Would you be even considerate of maybe offering that as a community education class?
Yeah, sure.
If people were interested in that?
Sure.
You know, that just came to my mind. You have that information, that knowledge. You already have the curriculum that you could certainly, I would think, would fit the community education perspective on this.
I believe it would. And I know there are people out there that are aware of the blues, but they don't really know the full rich texture of the cultural experience. There's so many things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's related to jazz. It gives birth to gospel. It gives birth to the Zydeco. It gives birth to Boogie Woogie. It gives birth to rock and roll. Look at what's going on today with rap. Rap is a descent. There are precedents for that. There's a song by Mississippi John Hurt called Talkin' Blues. And Woody Guthrie did some talking blues like that. It's part of us. It's developing down now to answer to our situation in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And like the quote said, it isn't going to go away.
It isn't going to go away. Is there something else that you would like to leave our listeners before we close the show today?
One last thing. a country, we've lived in some different countries, and some countries the size of, say, Portugal have one folk music, their fado music. They might have some other little peripheries around that, but it's primarily fado, which I love. But America isn't a homogeneous country. It's a mixture of all kinds of things. So we have so many different strains of music here, and they all intertwine and grow out of each other and meld with each other, that we may seem like a cornucopia of styles and interests.
With thanks to Ray Allard, local blues aficionado, for being on People of Color today. For comments or show ideas, send us an email at pocwpr@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at POCW Henry Banks. People of Color is produced by Henry Banks with production assistance from John Munson and John Talcott. I'm Henry Banks. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Have a great evening, a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.